morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. In case you're wondering, yeah, it's me. I was on the air yesterday with Brian Friedman in Goodbye to the Dead. But today, oh, the sun is shining again, thank goodness. The snow is gone. The snowstorm is gone, and it's just beautiful. And we're going to talk about Fran's favorite sport. This is Literary Viewpoints. And we're going to talk to Tim Patton, and he's going to tell us all about Fran's favorite sport in the whole universe, roller derby. We're going to get a little history, a little background. So get your skates on, people, and get your arm gear on, and let's get moving here. And good morning. How is it out by you? Because it's gorgeous here. It's going to be
It's really good here. It's sprinkling a little bit in San Francisco.
Oh, that's where my uncle is, actually. Uncle
it's
Leonard,
been
hi.
Great
he's
weather.
Gonna,
good morning.
Yeah, Uncle Leonard's going to be 95, and he's got a girlfriend. Good for him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be 95 in 2 weeks, and unfortunately, I won't get to see, but I get to send him a present, something really cool for somebody 95 and still kicking. He's all right. So
send him one of my books.
You know what? I might do that. Cause he would probably love the one I have, because he likes to read whatever I read, and I take notes and I scribble on the side, and then we compare notes and see if we agree. Oh, he's good. So tell our listeners a little history about the roller derby, yourself, your background, and how come you decided to go into this sport, because it's dangerous, but it's so cool.
Well, you know, I'm not a historian, but I do write historical fiction. And from what I understand, in 1930s, there was a Great Depression, the Great Depression, and people were out of work. Half of the people in the country were out of work. And somebody came up in 1935 with, you know, there used to be these dance marathons where people would dance until they were exhausted, and if they fell to their knees out of exhaustion, they were out of the contest. So they didn't win the big prize, the big prize. And Leo Seltzer came up with this idea to do that kind of contest on skates. So they invented this thing called the Transcontinental Roller Derby, and it opened up in Chicago in 1935, and that was the beginning of roller derby, and it's one of the only sports made in America.
Wow.
So
what
people
made you,
were...
Yeah, go on.
People, you know, I think in our modern world nowadays, we don't understand how desperate times were. These are, I'm going to say kids, but, you know, they're like 16, 17-year-old men and women who couldn't find a job. And so they heard about roller derby was hiring people, and you had to live there, and they fed you, and you just had to roller skate all day and all night until you basically fell, and then you were out. So, but people signed up for it because they needed to live somewhere. They needed to eat. They needed food and shelter. It was kind of something created in the worst of times in America, but it's still around to this day. So I think the roots are fascinating to me. It's a real act of desperation. And it's kind of sad to think that some of these famous roller skaters were so dirt poor and, you know, just didn't have anything else to do but find an outlet in this thing called the roller derby.
What happens when they're not able to do it? That makes it even worse. If they can't,
yeah,
the stamina
struggle.
Alone, you have to really be, the stamina alone to do hours like that is outrageous. You could feel it in your books. You could feel it when you were doing it.
Yeah, well, the people from that time, they're all passed away now that I can think, that I had spoken to. They talked about how their feet were just bloody and raw, like hamburger, like raw meat, because they were in their skates. I don't know if people have roller skated, but when you roller skate, your feet get blisters, and you know, it's very painful to have your feet in skates. And then when you're talking about doing it all day and all night until you, you know, can't do it anymore, it's got to be bad on people's feet. Yeah,
I can imagine.
But you know, over time, it grew quickly. It grew out of this marathon style, and then it grew into a body contact sport on the bank track. Of course, it was always on the bank track, and when it became a body contact sport, all of a sudden, now you have the you know, you have the falls, and you get slung into the rail, or you get whipped into the infield, and you know, so all of a sudden the injury rate went higher.
Wow, it makes it like it's not only dangerous, but it's exciting. So when you wrote My Razzle Dazzle, we got to tell everybody about the first book.
I can't leave that out. Okay.
It was funny because you emailed me, and I'm saying, like, how did you find out about me? Everybody's finding out about me. This is not good. Yeah. So yeah, I read that, and I love it. And, you know, I give away all the books after I read them, and that one's in my closet because there are too many hands out for it. I get a lot of people that everybody wants to read what I read because they figure, oh, well, it's got to be great. It is. I only read the best stuff. And if I don't really think something is a five-star book, a four-star book, I won't read it. I won't review it. I'll just write a summary because I won't pan somebody's writing. So what did you write that book, and what made you first decide to get into the ring yourself?
Well, doesn't everybody always want to think that they can write a book? I probably always thought that, but now I'm an older person. I'm retired from work. I just turned 64. Famous Beatles song.
When you're young.
64.
Don't even worry about it. You're young.
And I found myself in a situation 8 years ago where in my flat here, it's a large flat in San Francisco, multiple rooms, big Victorian. I had new roommates, brand new, but they were much younger than me, 25 years younger, and even more. And they said to me a couple of times, write a book about a farm boy from Wisconsin who came to San Francisco to join the roller derby but discovered the gay Mecca. And I thought, oh, no, that's silly. That's my life they're talking about. And 4 years after, they mentioned this several times. So it's really my flatmate's fault that I wrote this book. But I thought about it for years, and then I thought, you know, I hear what they're saying. I came through this whole world of turmoil in the 60s and 70s, and somebody 20 years younger than me did not. So I thought, okay, there might be value in writing my journey. So that's what started me writing My Razzle Dazzle. My Razzle Dazzle, okay, you ready for this? Razzle Dazzle is a name of a roller derby play. And you might have, if you've ever watched roller derby, let's just say that somewhere in the game, it's near the halftime or it's near the end of the game, and the score is tied, and all of a sudden there's one person who might pull this thing out of the fire, and he or she, because there's men and women who play the game, same rules, equality, will make a special move, and we call it razzle-dazzle, and all of a sudden they score the winning point, or maybe even two points, so they win the game. And it's very exciting, and the audience, you know, just screams and yells. The roof comes down, and the home team wins. And that's called a razzle dazzle. So that's the name of my book. It's named after an old roller derby play.
That's amazing. And I know that when I was reading about it, roller derby, I looked it up. And when I read the book, I realized even in this book, in Roller Babes, that when the score gets tied, that's no good. They don't want that. And they don't want it to be too far apart. So it's very rare that 7 points are scored at one time. I remember
yes.
that too. They don't want
yes.
that. They don't want the score to be so outrageous that the other team can't catch up. I know that. So tell
that's
us
right.
about Lottie and Ruby and Carol and Rebecca. Each one of these people went through a horrible time. So they went into roller derby to escape their lives because each
yes.
one has a story of their own. So, and Lottie was different, and they each had to get their parents' approval. So tell us about these characters because they were interesting.
Well, one of the things that always impressed me as a young kid about roller derby was that women and men competed on the same rules and the same body contact mm-hmm. sport. And, you know, back when I was a kid, this was kind of really rare to see women compete with the same rules, body contact sport,
mm-hmm.
where there's falling, fighting, and, you know, you name it, fisticuffs, mayhem. So this
mm-hmm.
whole idea of equality attracted me to the sport. And over the decades, I met somebody named Loretta Behrens, who is still around today, who was a roller derby skater back in the 50s. And I began to write stories. I began to write for her stories of her life on a website. And I think those stories are on her website today, Derby Memories or something, I can't remember.
Mm.
Well, I was her ghostwriter, and it taught me something that I could write as a female. I could become a female character or person and tell her story. And then I would give her the writing, and she would have it posted on the website. But that taught me that I could become a female character. So
awesome.
I used Loretta Behrens grew up in the Bronx, and she grew up in a very kind of a working neighborhood. She was a Jewish girl in a working neighborhood where there was a lot of racism. Well, like we see today, we hear it all over. I don't know if this will ever end, but for her, Jewish
mm-hmm.
people were considered, you know, you guys stay over there in that neighborhood and that sort of thing. So I wanted to use her character as this girl and who was and really is a tomboy. Now, there was a time in America when tomboys, who are girls, were kind of really picked on and ridiculed for being boyish and liking boy sports, like baseball or stickball is what they played on the streets of the Bronx in her neighborhood. And she happened to be an incredible stickball player in real life. So that this all became the basis of Lottie Zimmerman. You know, in writing, you can't plagiarize or use another person's real name without
mm-hmm.
full permission. So
mm-hmm.
When you write about a true history of real people, I invented a girl named Lottie Zimmerman, and she became the heroine in Roller Babes.
She's amazing. First of all, I grew up in the South Bronx, so I identified
you did.
With her.
See?
Yep, I did. And
did
I
you play stickball?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, it was one of the few things. I was 116 pounds. I'm 107 pounds now. But I was so good that I never had to run. See, I got a home run every time I hit the ball. And I played punch ball and baseball. And my dad was funny because he coached the team. and he would just say, stand over there and keep score, until somebody said, she hits better than everyone. We're going to win the game. She'll clean off the bases. And I did. So I got to play stickball and handball and all that. For some reason, I was good at that. But roller skating and ice skating, no, that was not going to happen. So I grew up in the South Bronx, a tough neighborhood. So every time you talked about Crumbs or Alexander's or any of those stores back then or anything in the Bronx, I was like, yeah, Lottie, that's good. You got it. So she became friends. It's amazing. She was like my role model here. I go like, yay.
Well, you know, I find that Loretta told me, which is Lottie, told me in real life that they played these games called Cut the Pie, Marbles, and Stickball. Mm-hmm. And there's something so, like, romantic to me about what kids did, back in the 50s, because nowadays I don't think this is the way people grow up at all, kind of. So that attracted me to the story a lot. And there's a whole way that people talk in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s that, you know, we don't talk that way now. There's a lot of slang and different ways of saying things. I fell in love with that era. When you write a novel, you kind of have to live in that time and in those characters' feet and souls during the time you're writing it. And I think it took me a couple years to write the novel.
Well, I'm glad you did, because Lottie, she really overcame a lot. And her father was against everything that she did.
Oh, yeah.
And that's even harder when your father doesn't, or your parents have no faith in you and they put you down for everything you did. And she stood up to her. She stood up for herself. And I was like, yeah, because I know how that feels when someone feels that you're not good enough to do something. And you begin to wonder, am I going to do this or am I going to let them win? And she wasn't going to let anybody bring her down or win. And that's what made, I said, yeah, she reminds me of me in a lot of respects. And I said, you know what, this is a lot of fight in her. And then we come to my next page, of Rebecca. And she decided to do this too. What made her decide? Well, she didn't stay, but what made her decide to go into this? And what happens when they meet Buddy? I love that guy.
Yeah, these girls in those days, being in a professional sport. Now, roller derby was professional. This was your career. This is where you lived. You traveled with the unit, and you entertained crowds every day of your life. You rarely got a day off. So for women to do something like that in 1952 was real rare. We hear a lot about something called feminism nowadays and equality and all that. Yeah, I mean, it's still going on. But in the 50s, these girls were expected to just get married and stay home and be in the kitchen. That was the expectation. But it didn't sit right with Lottie, that's for sure. And the other girls, they wanted, one of them was, she read the movie magazines back in the days, and she wanted to be a Hollywood star. And who wouldn't, you know? And guess what? Roller derby was on TV. These roller derby girls were looked upon as stars, signing autographs, meeting people, traveling to different places, entering large crowds, tens of thousands of people would come out to see the roller derby. So this was attracted to the other girl. But I have a Rebecca. Rebecca is a girl that was, I thought, a little bit like me. It's embarrassing to say. Bookwormish, kind of awkward. And there was a relationship with her father that was really unsettling. he was touching her inappropriately. So she, all three of these girls needed to escape. There was nothing, there was no future in the Bronx for them. There was no future in marriage. Even though the two girls were very attractive. Now, Lottie was not attractive.
Yeah,
she was kind of a tomboy, kind of unattractive, odd-shaped nose. Just everything about her was, you know.
She was me growing up, trust me.
Awkward,
she
yes.
She reminded me of me growing up with the odd-shaped nose and the big butt and, yeah.
Yeah. Me too. I was the male version of that at one time, but I think
I think
we all connect with this because these girls are in their teens. They're just 16 and 17 when they decide to go out into the big world and become roller derby skaters. And I think all of us have that time when we're awkward and our voices don't work right. For guys, you know, we go through the voice change and all of a sudden we're growing hair in places we don't even want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And things are happening. We're just awkward. I was tall and skinny and just so awkward and shy. I just thought there was something wrong with my ears because they were too big. It's crazy time.
I know. I know. I would walk in.
Yes, you too. I think that girls have more issues about their appearance, and so Lottie really wanted to hide. If she hadn't found roller derby as a career pathway, I don't know what would have happened to her, to be honest.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So roller derby wasn't out for all three of these girls, young girls. They're just 17 when they went to their dads and asked them to sign. You know, your family has to sign.
Yeah.
So they all three went to try to join the roller derby.
I can't blame them. It's like going off to join
the circus or go and join the carnival. You know, it's like just getting away from whatever it is that bothers you. Nowadays, I guess people would want to go and join the rock show or a rap group or who knows, Electric Daisy Carnival, something.
They probably would want to try out for Voice or American Idol, which is not
exactly.
Or Dancing with the Stars, but my mom did that. She knew I was the human klutz, and even though my dad insisted that I roller skate and ice skate, which was totally disastrous, she had another program for me, which is called Violin Lessons, which were great, Piano Lessons, and the Torture of the Day, Dancing Lessons, because she figured if I took dancing lessons, then I wouldn't be a klutz, and I could roller skate and ice skate. I said to her, I'm an A student. I never get in trouble in school. What did I do wrong to deserve to be tortured on Saturday morning? Until I finally figured out at 13 and a half a way to get out of that. And I said, I'd rather go to temple with my friends on Saturday morning than with my grandfather than dancing lessons. So I learned, you gotta come up with a way. So Buddy was married to Gloria. And he loved this sport. What made him so special to the girls? He was amazing, amazing character, and he comes back a couple of times in the book.
Buddy is somebody that I met. People might remember this name, the Atkinson family. Buddy Atkinson, the original Buddy, he passed away quite some time ago. But his family continues, and they've been in roller derby. Now, Buddy started in roller derby in 1935, and he and I became friends when I was training in the roller derby in 1973. And he took a liking to me. So this character, Buddy Wilson, in the story, took a liking to Lottie. And what Buddy liked most about anybody is the guts, the sheer guts to fall down, get a scrape on your knee, get a oh, you know, you end up with a lot of injuries, get injured, mm-hmm. and get right back up and continue going, even though you're not very good. But that whole, like, drive to just keep pushing yourself, you know, further and further and further, that was what Buddy saw. And also, Lottie is a small girl. She's small and awkward, and which, you know, I think Buddy was more impressed with the fact that she was pushing herself more than the girls that may be more athletic, like Ruby, you know, the black girl, the very first black girl. In roller derby, Ruby was based on a real character, a real life roller derby star, Miss Anderson, I think her real name was, the very first black girl. But she was more athletic prone. Lottie was just, she had to work too hard for it, you know.
I think, and then that's there's Carol, too.
Carol, yes. Well, Carol, yes. Carol had problems with her boyfriend at home, and that just didn't work out very well, and you know, he wanted to work on his car all the time, some kind of Chevrolet out in the backyard or something. And but Carol ended up realizing that she was gay or a lesbian.
Yeah, with she and Ruby.
And Ruby D was assaulted in high school, and she ended up realizing that she was a lesbian also. And I think you find this in professional sports, women's sports, that a lot of girls oriented more towards being a lesbian were attracted to these sports way back in the old days. Nowadays, it's so wonderful that all women, all young girls can participate in sports. I think sports teaches all of us, men and women, something about ourselves and how we work with one another in a team conflict situation, how we respond and what we contribute. These are important things to learn. Yes, it's all physical, but it's also the mental, how you think about how you're going to survive, how you're going to score that point, how you're going to, you know, join forces with other teammates or whatever. These are important tools for anybody who wants to work in Silicon Valley, let's say. You know, I worked in the computer industry for decades, and you have to work in teams, so with a lot of different people.
That is true. My husband works in computers. It's funny that you should say that. He's a systems programmer for a company that we won't talk about. But he's really good. So, and he's 24-hour on call. You never know when they're going to call you, even if you're not.
I know.
It's annoying.
I went through this for decades, carrying a beeper or being on call.
Yep. Carrying
having
the
to
phone
carry
in.
Laptops, having to dial in from wherever you were. At whatever time.
I know. And I said, you know, we went away one weekend, which I never went away. I hadn't gone away. My mom had Alzheimer's, and for 10 years I went nowhere. Even
my
if I went overnight to my
Alzheimer's.
Brother.
My
I know everything about it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And my mom lived with it, but she was home because I took care of her at home with home health aides. God bless them. They were the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know. But when these girls decided to begin their journey, how come they gave them the team on the opposite side? They never played for the home team. They always played for the team that was away. That was hard, let me tell you. Because they were so good, and Lottie was so good, and they booed her every time she wanted to score a point. But after a while, she knew what they were doing. She didn't care. But how come they picked the other side for them, not the home
team? A lot of people think in the old days that there was a single owner, a male, that he dictated everything on the squads, hired people in. He had some influence, but it's really the women who managed their own thing. You know, men didn't come in and interfere. So the women decided, well, evidently, she was, Lottie, was unattractive and unappealing, so she couldn't skate on the home team. And, of course, the home team girls that were popular at that time were the attractive girls. In fact, you know, I mentioned them in my book. They were based on people like Jerry Murray, who was very attractive. She was the star of the roller derby. She couldn't go places. She had to wear things on, you know, what they call scarves to cover herself up from arena to arena, because people would recognize her and bug her, or, you know, even try to assault her, even, you know, if she wanted to go out to a bar. That was really common in the 50s, where the girls who were traveling had difficulty going to local bars and local pubs and whatnot. But so the girls controlled it, and they just decided, well, she's kind of creepy looking, so let's put her on the visiting team, because then the crowd will hate her. And they'll love the star of the home team even more. This is where the jealousy comes in. This is where the, you know, it's really interesting. Can I tell you this little story about how I learned this? I've been around roller derby for a long time. And I was working in a game, not as a skater, but I had to take some uniforms to the girls' locker room. And I went in the locker room, and I just observed this whole atmosphere of, like, jealousy and envy and protection of one's territory. And the queen had everything to say, the queen of the roller derby, and everybody kind of kowtowed to her. And I thought, wow, the women are very different than the men's locker room. So I wanted to write about that. I think it's a female phenomenon. And, you know, the men in my men's books, I write about how the men's locker room is also, you know, a certain way in terms of power, authority, and camaraderie. So I wanted to cover that. And when Lottie, yes?
No, yes. You did. I could feel it. And I could feel the animosity. But I'm wondering, when you, if you write the next one, I hope you're writing the next one, did you write it about the male players and how they differed from the female players? Because there wasn't enough about the male players in them, like Mike Gammon, Gene Gammon, and all the other male players.
Yeah,
that's just me.
Mike Gammon and Gene Gammon. Well, in fact, yes.
He's still here.
And in my next story, my next novel in the roller derby trilogy here is, I do talk about Mike Gammon. I can't use his name, but I call him Murray. His name becomes Murray. But, yeah, and I talk about what goes on in the locker room and specific incidents when I was a very young skater. And I want to talk about how men kind of negotiate power in the locker room and authority. And also, you know, not all us guys like each other. We all have, you know, grudges or issues, and we are forced to work together when we're put into the team. You know, when you're out on the track, you have a job to do, and you've got to do it. Otherwise, you're not going to be a skater. You'll get fired pretty quickly.
Well, I got the impression that they even decide who's going to score in the locker room and who's going to lie back and who's going to do, you know, who's going to do the whip on the jams. I know that was right. And who, whatever. But there were two women that I wanted to smack in the head, and Eva and Patty, because they were out to get Lottie no matter what. And I guess they were jealous because she was really better than they were. And they hated her to start with, and that bothered me. And I said, like, you know, maybe she'll deck one of them one of these days and take care of it.
Well, Eva Belzac is a character who epitomizes a real life skater or skaters, a couple of them that I've known, and the jealousy is incredible when some when a young girl comes into any league and she looks like she, you know, when you skate a lot for a living, especially, you can spot somebody who has it, the it factor or the X factor. You can spot them. And Eve Belzac spotted this, Eva, right away when Lottie stepped in her first locker room as a rookie. And from that moment on, Belzac decided she was going to keep her down. She was going to hold her down. She didn't want her, she didn't want the audience's eyes on Lottie. She wanted the audience's eyes on her, Eve Belzac, because she's the supreme woman, you know. So this conflict is real, and I'm going to tell you this, the sad part about this is that I know these women who, from roller derby, who took their grudges to their graves. They did not like their competition, and it might be competition on the track. It might be competition for a man, which happens in roller derby. When the girls and guys are on teams together, they fall in love. Some of them fall in love, and some of them marry, and some of them have long marriages, but also some of them play around. And some of them play the kinds of combinations of sex partners you can have in the roller derby is unlimited.
I can tell. I could feel the way you wrote those scenes, the jams and the plays and the games. I felt like I was living it. So what I did was I actually downloaded some of the YouTube videos from the New York Chiefs and the San Francisco Bay Area Bombers, which was your team, and the Brooklyn Red Devils, which was Tuffy Bazoon. And I watched them play last night. In the middle of the night, I put on my phone and I said, I got to watch this. I could feel the energy of roller derby. Boy, do I miss it. It is just like my favorite thing. So Lottie is amazing. How can she help other girls today? I mean, I deal with that. I dealt with that. I was educated for 36 years in a school in the Bronx, and I work with kids with learning disabilities. I was also the dean. I'm kind of tough for a little person, seriously. And how can they teach girls that bullying, you know, you can overcome it? I mean, there's Rebecca. She decided that it wasn't for her. And then there's Ruby, a black skater that had to fit in. And then there's Carol that had to fit in, too. And then they didn't want Ruby to stay in the same hotel as Lottie, and they figured out a way. The friendship was unbelievable. I got tears in my eyes. I said, oh, my God, these girls are truly amazing the way you wrote that. What lessons can kids, can teenagers learn from this book? Because the book is fantastic.
Well, I think you're right. There's something about that I feel like is gotten lost in our current society where colleges nowadays have what they call safe spaces. So if you are offended, you're allowed to go into the safe space and get away from it because it's too emotional. Well, I think what roller derby taught me and everybody else, because I was a foolish, peculiar little, I was kind of like a walking failure, waiting to fail in all of life, and that didn't happen. Because roller derby or this sport teaches you to face all those fears, racism, sexism, you know, the lesbians in the teams and the gay men on the teams. You have to do this publicly in front of people, and you have to work through it. And what I did was I befriended people in roller derby, and just like Lottie, you just kind of be their friend and hope that they can keep pushing through their fears, their anxieties. You know, these are human, this is just the human condition. We all have fears. We all have inadequacies. We all have personal problems. But that shouldn't keep you from really doing what you want to do and being good at it.
Well,
so
before
Lottie
I forget,
is,
I better remember this. Thursday, I don't know, this is like three shows in 1 week. It's like outrageous. Simon Chavez will be here with Thin Black Line, and he's in counterterrorism in Canada, so that should be interesting.
Oh, my God.
I get the best people, let me tell you. The 31st, I've got Alan Topol, and I have to publicly thank him for a blurb for the front cover of my new book, which is coming out at the end of the month, Hidden Truths and Lies, Told from the Point of View of the Dead Person That Learned a Lesson Behind the Stone. You never know who friend's going to kill off next. On 4-7, I've got Brian Moreland, and I'm waiting for his book to come on paranormal. And 4-14, J.J. White, Deviant's Axe, and exactly that. And the biggie of the month, April 20th, Steve Barry has agreed to do an on-air exclusive with me. I'm on the 14th Colony, and I'm hoping after I get Iris Johansson's book, she said that she would interview with me because I know what not to ask, which is any questions about the book. And that's just coming up soon.
Wow, a lot
get
of stuff.
Tough, yeah, and I've got a stack of book of about 35 books inside, and I'm reading one. This Kathy Steele wrote her posts on Facebook about Alzheimer's, about her mother's journey. So I'm reading that now, and I think my review is going to be quite different. When things get tough and the players get cut, they're still there. So what does it mean to create color on the team? I know what that means, but tell everybody it means you have to create color in order to make people want to watch you. So they orchestrate this. Why is that important? And what happens in Cuba that sets off the spectators? That was like, whoa.
Well, you know, in the old days, in 1935, the marathon skaters had to draw attention to them in order for the audience to come in to just throw a nickel down on the floor or whatever they did. So roller derby learned to, they call it color, we call it color, to do something that entertains the audience and encourages them to come back and come back, which then encourages people to pay at the gate, and which then pays your salary for skating and covers the cost of your travel and so on. So some people are good at having color. And other people aren't, and some people are natural actors, and Lottie became really, really good at this, and that's always the mark of a good showman, a good sportsman, and a star athlete, is that they have some pizzazz about them. Even today, you know, a star baseball player has something special, you know, that we like about them. And Lottie became that.
Why does the home team have to win? And they give boos to the other team. I was sitting there saying, I want Lottie's team to win. I want Lottie's team to win. I want Lottie to win. And why is it that if she's playing wherever she's playing, and whether it's Cuba or whether it's New York or whether it's Chicago or whatever, what would happen if the home team lost?
Well,
that would not go.
The original roller derby had home teams and visiting teams, and the home team would represent your city, like New York or San Francisco or Austin, Texas, or wherever it is. And the local fans would want to see their home team win. That's kind of natural. So the roller derby began to develop these scenarios or strategies to skate towards the audience's desire, and therefore the home team usually won. They might lose occasionally, but they would lose and frustrate the audience to make the audience want to come back and root the home team on to success. It's kind of like this traditional good versus bad kind of idea. And it's not done nowadays, but that's how we drew the audiences in in the previous years, decades and decades of roller derby, a little bit like professional wrestling.
Yeah, I would imagine. I know, when I watched the New York Chiefs play in person, I was like, yay, they won. But it never dawned on me as a kid, yeah, they always won. I don't know. So before we end in about, we have about 10 minutes. You have two of my favorite team players here, Jerry Murphy, which is Jerry Murray, and Ruffy, which is really Tuffy Brazil,
who is
4'11". I didn't realize she died in 1971. You know, as much as you hated her, or you wanted her to punch her lights out, and she was on the Brooklyn Red Devils, you loved her. She created the local color and with Jerry Murray. So how did you incorporate them in this particular thing? And when Lottie gets picked in a special way, how does this change things for her? I love Lottie. She's so me.
Well, you know, I think this is the whole idea of the Queen of the Roller Derby, which is a real thing, that you would get elected Queen of the Roller Derby by the fans in the old days. Mm-hmm. And you would have to struggle against the top skaters, the most famous, the ones that the fans liked the most, or even the ones the fans hated the most, because you love to hate certain people, like the witch in The Wizard of Oz. People love to hate that person. So Jerry Murray, I like to think that she's a lot like maybe me and just your average decent person. She happens to be the star of the roller derby, but she becomes friends with Lottie over time, over a kind of long period of time. Lottie's career in roller derby, it was 6 years or seven, and so was Loretta Barron's, the character this is based upon. And near the end of it, she had become the roller derby queen. She had worked her way up the ranks and through all of the fisticuffs and all the problem people, and became the star. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Cuba, because is in the news right now. This is amazing, because when I wrote this story, I had to find Cuban Americans to interview to find out what is the Cuban countryside like, because I knew that roller derby went there. I had seen newsreels, and I had talked to skaters who talked about the Cuban games and the whole riot that happened there. So I had to ask the Cuban people how this whole culture was, because there's not a lot of information about communist Cuba and how the real people are, the people who work in the farms, the people who work the land, that have the oxen and are growing sugarcane or whatever. And so I watched yesterday on CNN News, The Wonderlist, they covered Cuba today. And I thought, Tim, it looks a lot like I had painted in the story, not having been there. So I was really pleased with the Cuban story within Roller Babes.
The Cuban story in Roller Babes really made it great, especially when the crowd went bananas and they had a really...
That really happened. The thing about my book is, one thing you learn about roller derby, people gossip. If something happens on the East Coast, you're going to hear about it on the West Coast 2 seconds later. So it's full of gossip. And what I tried to do, which is put some of that into the book, is to give a flavor of what it's like to be a skater. You're just bombarded with, the complexities. You're like a little family that's arguing all the time, or you have friends all the time. So I wanted to make sure that was in there, because it's a unique part of working in a sport, a professional sport.
Well, we're not going to talk too much about too many more things in the book, because I want everybody to read it, and I wanted them to know that the ending is really get some tissues, people. No, seriously, yeah. He's got a lot of tissues. That was amazing, and it was perfect.
Thank you so much.
So roller derby today is very dangerous, but it's not as popular today. And a few years ago, they brought it back on television, and it wasn't anywhere near the other teams played, like the Chiefs or the Bay Area. You played on you owned the Bay Area Bombers, right? The San Francisco Bay Area Bombers was your team?
Bay City Bombers I had.
Bay City Bombers, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I ran them for 9 years or something like that.
And you were on television, and I was like, oh, my God. And I got all excited because this is like an exciting show. I said, I'm meeting somebody from the roller derby, yay. So did you ever meet Jerry Murray or Tuffy Brazoon or any of them from the New York Chiefs in real life?
I did not meet Jerry or Tuffy, but I had a lot of women skaters friends. You know, when you are involved in the roller derby for a long time, you have a lot of women skater friends, and they worked with Jerry, and they spoke about her, and they worked with these other girls from way back then. And, of course, Loretta spoke about them all the time. So you kind of learn this through them, and you hear about all the little background gossipy things about these personalities.
Well, there was one other player that I know about. Joan Weston was considered the number one roller derby star ever in the whole universe. And I probably saw her play too. But if roller derby was on television, I didn't watch a lot of TV because my grandmother owned the television and you weren't allowed to watch. I was told to read every single night 10 books a week.
Oh.
But roller derby was on, that's just why I do what I do. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Roller derby was like my thing, and I would say to my mother, I got all A's this week, so is it okay if I watch? But like I said, my uncle, if roller derby was on Saturday or Sunday in the Armory or even downtown, wherever it was, he dragged me with him because I was the only one that liked the roller derby. And, of course, getting up on top and getting autographs from Jerry Murray and Gene Gammon and all the rest of them, I was like, this is so cool. And here I am, this little
And you and I are still fans to this day.
I would love
to see somebody bring a television show back that had the chemistry that it had way back then. I'm just not sure anybody's going to do it because today it's gone flat track. Like in roller rinks all around the world, people have these roller derby games, roller girls and roller guys, and it is different. It's flat track. It's kind of missing all the drama and the choreography or whatever you want to call it. But it's still very active. There are thousands of these teams around the world. They're very active.
I would love to see it on television because I would love to watch it. They had it on either HBO or Lifetime. They had it a while ago, but it was not. It was done very poorly.
It wasn't. I know.
I think they called it Roller Babes or Roller Derby, whatever. But whatever it was, it wasn't great. So before we close, what are you writing the next one? So I can read it again.
Oh, my God.
This is like my favorite thing. Oh, I can't wait.
I'm going to talk about things that are really uncomfortable, I think.
Good.
It opens with gay marriage was officially okayed in America. And I go to my very first gay marriage between two friends of mine, one roommate and his now husband, two men. And that's how it starts. But I transition into some of the real dark places that roller derby took for gay men, and specifically gay men who had contracted HIV.
Whoa.
I think it's kind of serious. I'm trying to balance it, with any professional sport, back in the day, if you were suspected of having HIV or AIDS, they didn't want you in the showers, they didn't want you on the teams, they didn't want to be around your sweat or your blood, because nobody knew how it might be transmitted. So it was some very difficult, kind of dark times. I thought I wanted to talk about them. But, of course, I'll have to turn this into a happy ending. I'm going to talk about the girl skaters again. And guess who? Joan Weston.
Yeah, I'm sitting there reading this stuff when I watched her. The video, like I said the other night, I go like, it brought it back home, and I'm sitting there like, can I watch another one? They're all on YouTube. And I was like, okay. And then there's a video for your book, by the way. There's one for Roller Babes by Tim Patton, everybody. And I watched that the other day, The History of Roller Derby, that brought up, you know, like the blurb for your book. And I'm sitting on YouTube going, yeah, that's it. That's the one. And you had this whole great roller derby thing. From your book, and I'm going like, oh, good, this is even better. So it brought your book to life for me too, watching the skaters and listening to how they, you know, broadcast, and the fact that that was the promotion for your book on YouTube. In case you don't know that I watched it, I did. I watched
good.
Everything. Yeah.
Well, Fran,
so,
thank you for finding me and hanging with roller derby for all these years. I still love it.
Yeah, me too. And thank you for coming on my show. And I hope you're going to send me the next one when it comes out.
Of course.
And for those of you that don't know, it's Roller Babes by Tim Patton. It's a 10-star book. It's fantastic. Once I started to read it, I couldn't put it down. And the ending, just make sure you have 3 boxes of tissues, because it's really fantastic. And I know my cousin has her hand out for it, so I'm going to have to lend it to her, because she's going to want to read this. And she was her father that took us to roller derby. It was my Uncle Harry that took us.
Wow.
And got me started. Yeah, I loved it. And I really wish that I wasn't such a klutz and could skate. I cannot skate, no matter what. And I'm lucky that I walk around the block without going whatever. And no, I was 190 pounds at one point. I'm 107, and
yeah.
Never again. But,
good,
yeah, roller derby is the best. Someday somebody out there bring it back so that we can all see it. And, Tim, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Stay in touch, please. Thank you. Have
thank
a nice
you
day, everybody,
so much.
And bye.
Good day. Bye-bye.